I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Official Charts Take the Hit, a podcast where we get to know artists a little better as they face questions themed around the UK's best-selling singles of all time. Now, these could be questions like, when did you last stay out all night like an ABBA dancing queen? Or when did you last get lucky like Daft Punk? This week's guest is Danny Jones, who was part of the hugely successful boy band McFly for more than a decade. During that time, the band racked up an incredible 21 top 40 singles, and seven of those went all the way to number one. Some of their big hits were Five Colours in Her Hair, All About You and Stargirl, and their first two albums, Room on the Third Floor and Wonderland, were also big number ones on the official albums chart. Since then, Danny's written songs for loads of other artists, including One Direction. He had a track on their Midnight Memories album. And this year, he has loads going on. He recently released a five-track EP of solo music, which coincides with a string of UK tour dates this September. And he's also back as a coach on The Voice Kids on ITV. Danny actually invited us around to his to record this episode, and he even played us some songs in his recording studio in his back garden, which was very cool. And also, towards the end of this episode, you'll hear we get interrupted by a FaceTime call by One Direction's Niall Horan. So, let's check it out. Danny Jones, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Thanks so much for having us round to yours to do this.
You're welcome. We're, by the river with a flight path and some building work going on, so what could be better?
Don't undersell the house with the flight path. And thank you. Well, you just had us in your little studio in the garden.
Yeah.
Very cute.
That room I have spent a lot of time in recently. I've had studios with, you know, live rooms and stuff. And this is kind of, this box that I've built in my garden is everything over the years. Kind of like, you know when you do a clear out your wardrobe and you keep the good stuff? That's that. That's that wardrobe in the backyard. That is all the good stuff, that everything that I need. My workflow is fast. And I've just produced my own EP in there, which is crazy. And
I have to say, in the studio, I did notice you've got Brit Award.
Oh yeah.
The platinum disc for
Room on the Third Floor. Yeah.
I didn't see the official charts number one award.
That's in there. That's in the, like, you walk past that on your way in.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the first thing you see. And then that's kind of like, you know, the when you get to know someone and you go, yeah, do you want to come to the studio? Yeah, cool. And then you get, oh, there's Brit and the plaque. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So you're right at the front with, like,
that's
you
great.
Know. Yeah, you're right at the front with my Nickelodeon award.
Prestigious.
I don't know why
case.
Else is there. Picture me and the wife.
Are you ready to play Take the Hit?
Yeah, definitely. Take the Hit, for
cool.
sure.
So just to briefly explain, I'm going to ask you a series of questions based on the UK's best-selling singles of all time.
Oh, wow.
And the questions are decided at random. And the number that comes up will relate to where that song sits on the all-time bestsellers chart.
Great.
I did want to ask, do you know what McFly's best-selling single is? Do you keep track of these kind of things?
I presume it's going to be All About You or Shine a Light.
Well, you're correct, it's All About You.
All About You.
Followed by Shine a Light.
Is it really? Yeah, so okay, there you go. Yeah. Okay, amazing. All About You, I remember this. I was sat in my bedroom at the band when we were in the band house. And someone was like, hey mate, can you help me? I had a studio in my bedroom. Someone's like, hey mate, can you help me record a song? I was like, yeah, no problem. What's it for? He's like, I want to record this song for Giovanna for Valentine's Day. I said, yeah, cool, man, no problem. And he came in and he's like, I was like, mate, this song's sick. And he did it like a barbershop vibe. And I was like, okay, cool. And, you know, that's vibey, but why? I can't remember how it came about, but I was like, maybe I'll stick some, like, Noel Gallagher guitar in it or something. Like, you know, like, just a bit of a vibe. And
yeah.
The song was so good that we couldn't deny having it as a McFly song. So this is Tom's song to his wife. But isn't that what's amazing? Is like the song that you don't... He didn't think it was going to be a single. He didn't think it was going to be released. But the one he wrote for one person became globally huge.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's amazing, because we always try and write these songs that, oh, let's appeal to the masses, where really you only need to appeal to one person. But you know what's mad is, like, even though, like, they might be the best sellers, sometimes you realise fan favourites are different. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. I was pleased to see Shine a Light up there, I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. Channelize the tune, man. Yeah.
That was like a later in the catalogue kind of.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a question based on All About You.
Okay.
As it lends so nicely to new music, new solo music. What inspired the songs? How did these songs come together? Because you've produced these, written these.
So the solo stuff, yeah, it kind of took a while. Obviously you heard, like, it came about kind of accidentally when I was trying to write. But then it's been like therapy, because, like, you know, like, growing up with whatever experiences you grow up with, it's hard to write about. It's hard to, like, go back and revisit it and understand why you got anxiety, understand why you had this, understand why you are who you are because of it, right? But I have more positives that I can pull than negatives. Yeah, I've had anxiety. Yeah, I've been down about it. Yeah, I don't talk to my dad anymore. But all the other things, I got some amazing tunes out of it. I feel self-helped in a way because of, like, situations that I've written about. I didn't realise I felt that way, so it's kind of helped me. And honestly, man, it's been like this huge 2 years of, like, becoming a man, I suppose. I don't know. Like, I don't know what it is that it is, but I've definitely become stronger by just writing about it and almost a weight off my shoulders. And it sounds really deep, that, but there's also some amazing stuff, like signs about the time that, you know, I was trying to get with my wife Georgia and the whole year. So there's fun stuff, but, like, Muddy Water, the first one I want to release from the EP, is about a situation that, you know, you could have gone down and be drowned in, and, you know, you could have let that situation weigh you down, but you were strong enough and brave enough to get out of it, and you're better for it, and you've learned from a bad situation rather than kind of go down the same way.
Yeah.
The second one, Bad Habits, is, you know, just sitting here watching Netflix or whatever and seeing a Louis Theroux documentary and looking at the whole kind of, like, you know, it was kind of like, it was about addiction, really, and those binges that you have to find inspiration when you're not having any, when you've almost got, not writer's block, but you're like, how do I inspire myself today? What do? You watch documentaries. And the Springsteen thing of putting yourself in other people's, you know, in other characters' shoes, that's what that one's about. And then Signs is about the song about me and George are trying to get with each other. And then Talk in the Morning is, life's too short. Why are we talking about this issue right now? Like, say, for example, you're at a gig, you have an argument, or you're talking about something that's so small. Life's too short. Talk in the morning. Let's have a good time. So it's kind of a real broad, and that's the reason why the EP is like that, because I didn't want every song to be about, like, just my upbringing. About, I think Muddy Waters is the best, kind of, without getting too much detail, because I have other songs that are, like, really detailed about me coming home, finding my mum crying, and like, you know, dad having an affair and all that. And it's kind of like, okay, but we'll get to that, you know, there's time for that to come out. And I feel you've got to be brave to write like that, you know, and I'm trying to, but I was scared at first, but I felt a real kind of release from it.
Should we go for our first?
Yes, definitely.
Right, I'm going to let you push this.
Oh. 106.
The 106th biggest selling single of all time is The Beatles' Hey Jude.
Oh my god.
Number one in 1973, 1.15 million copies. Not bad?
Not bad at all. But it's an absolute classic. It's hard to write classics, man.
You're right, it is a closing song, isn't it?
Yeah.
What, I guess, touring with McFly, what was the closing song? Did it change throughout the years much?
Oh my god, no. It was always Five Colours. But I'll tell you what changed, though. The ending, we always did an extended ending, and that became the feature. It was like, okay, there's the 3 minute 20 Five Colours song, but here's the 3 minute 20 ending. It's gonna send the show. We went over, like, so we do, like, want to be like, yeah, we like, so be like, thank you, half times, and then, like, stops and jump in. And
should we do another one?
Yeah. Sorry if I destroyed anyone's speakers, man. Right. 88.
So the 88th biggest selling single of all time in the UK is Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh my god, classic!
So it was number two for years and years, famously, and then just reached number one, but just the week after Christmas last year.
Well, everyone, I'd have thought it would have been number one every year.
Like, it should be, shouldn't it?
Yeah, that's crazy, because that's like the Christmas song, isn't it, that kicks off everyone's Christmas.
Exactly. What I was going to ask is, what is this your favourite Christmas song? Is this the best Christmas song?
No, it's not my favourite, because I just think, but I'm a bit like that, because it is everyone's favourite. It doesn't.
It's also everywhere, so it's kind of almost like it doesn't need to be your favourite, because you'll always hear it.
I do like this. Yeah, you do. Yeah. I like the more obscure ones, like Simply Heaven.
Yes, I love that.
That's a tune. For me, I just stick on Bublé's album.
Classic.
I just stick on Bublé's, like...
Can't go wrong.
Christmas. Christmas. Christmas.
And,
just those vibes.
And now you have a little one. Christmas must be really exciting again.
Yeah.
Or just really expensive.
Well, we've only had 1 year.
Yeah.
So, what we did learn is we only need to get him... We only need to get him wrapping paper.
Yeah.
Because if we just wrapped up a box, he just plays with the box and the wrapping paper. So the thing inside doesn't really matter.
I think you've got about two cheap Christmases in you.
Yeah, so next year and the year after, we're just going to let him open our presents and then he can play with the wrapping paper.
Nice.
Christmas was always the one time when I was uber, uber busy. The only time I ever got to see my family.
Yeah, didn't McFly constantly have like Q4...
Crazy
releases.
Crazy. Like, oh, and you know, the stuff that goes, the work that goes on behind the scenes that you don't see before we release stuff is like all year, you know, all year. Meetings, you know, discussing front covers. Like, I've been doing that now for 2 years about my own stuff, you know, so.
Should we do it?
Another one. 115.
So, 115th best selling single of all time is Katy Perry's Raw.
Ah, cool.
Number one in 2013.
Still feels quite fresh, that song.
Yeah, 1.13 million sales. This is like a proper motivational gym playlist song.
Yeah.
Do you have a gym playlist song?
I'm weird with music in the gym because I'm very conscious that I make a lot of noise.
Do
so
you?
when I have headphones in,
you become unaware of the
noise. Yeah, when I train, I just make loads of noise. I'm like, yeah. And like...
You don't drop the weights on the floor, do you? You're not that...
Depends what I'm doing and depends how tired I am. Yeah, but I'm one of them. Because I hate it, I have to get angry.
Do you have a gym playlist specifically? Because I will ask you to show it to me.
I don't have a gym playlist. Oh. No. No. Dance music, maybe, is kind of my go-to. But I'm kind of going off that a little bit.
Yeah, in the gym it gives me a bit of a headache.
Yeah.
Sign of it.
I go for more motivational podcasts.
Really? People talking?
Yeah. Because like when you have a guy that's like, I don't know, like SAS or something, or like some guy that talks like, I don't know, he's talking about how some nutritionist or some kind of like sports scientist is like, you know, when we train... It's all about the mind and body. I'm going, yeah. And it just gets me in a frame of mind that's like, pain is okay. Do you know what I mean?
That's good.
Sounds really weird, but...
I should try that. Also, that Katy Perry song feels like one of those... It's a great track, I think. Mm. But it's almost like one of those scientifically created pop songs.
Is it a Max Martin job?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And McFly, I always thought, managed to do that, but you were doing it yourselves.
Mm.
Did you work with other... You worked with other producers, right?
But mainly, like, our first producer ever was Hugh Padgham, who worked with Phil Collins and Sting, and he was more like just our producer. We were coming in with these songs, like... And then our second one was Jason Perry, who... Oh, there was a guy in the other day as well called Craig Hardy. He was amazing. He kind of helped us develop McFly, from the McFly sound. And then Jason Perry is just like, you know, he's in a British rock band called A... Amazing energy, amazing vibe, And he was like our consensus to, like, you know, become the fifth member in a way. So we never really had, like, we never thought out songs, like, in a scientific way.
There's really strong melodies.
Yeah. But Tom's great at it. Tom's great at, like, getting melodies, like, finished and perfected. And me and Tom always work really well together because he'd come in with something and I'd pull it another way and he'd pull me that way and I'd pull it this way. And that's how we got the McFly kind of, I don't know, pop perfection, I don't know.
Should we do another one?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Testing.
Mm. the 123rd best-selling single in the UK is Teletubbies Say Eto.
Oh my god. That's so weird that's come up because that's my son's favourite thing to say.
Is it?
Yeah.
All these years later.
He just goes like, uh-oh, when he drops something. Still doing it.
So wait, so it was number one in 1997. So that's 22 years later.
22 years, yeah.
And your son is still kind of referencing them, maybe not realising, but...
Well, what's mad is we just went to CBB Land or whatever it is.
Oh,
on Towers, and the Teletubbies did a live show.
How are they live? How are their vocals?
Good! Strong. Yeah, can't tell what they're saying, but Coops loved it. It's just like, you know... It's mad because when you're not a dad, you never think ever. Like, I was talking to my mate who was there, like, look at us now, mate. Before we'd be, you know, in Ibiza at a pool party. and now we're drinking sparkling water, watching the Teletubbies. Oh. No, it's amazing because you just, to watch your kids learn and have fun, it's all, you know, it's all about them now, you know what I mean? Excuse the pun. But it is, it's your mentality switches.
Yeah, so how... So,
and again,
it's changed a lot.
Well, this is why, like, this EP is, like, so important for me, is because in my time in my life, like, having a son, I feel like I needed to sort this stuff out before I, you know, I need to teach him now why, you know, maybe he doesn't see the other side of, the, you know, his other granddad or whatever, or it's just important. I feel like it was a great time to get this out and for him to look back and go, oh, Dad, that's great, and, you know, yeah, but he's, at the minute, he's obsessed with Teletubbies. 113. Look at that. I have 13 on my hand.
What is the 13 on your hand?
13. I feel like it's such a dark mentality, man. But 13 is literally like started off bad, ended up amazing. Because like I think like my mum had a relationship, broke up again. Then my granddad passed away, and then we ended up headlining Hyde Park when we busted and going on this mad journey. So like from one side to the other of that whole year, I just had to deal with so much, but then the pressure of the high life, if you sound ridiculous, but the success of all that kind of...
What, 2013?
Yeah, because like, I learned a lot that year.
So the 113th biggest selling single is Donna Summer, I Feel Love.
Ooh.
Number one in 1977. This is definitely a like, getting in the mood song.
Yeah, I can imagine my mum going, I love this song, getting up dancing.
Do you have like a getting in the mood playlist?
I have one playlist.
A song you wooed, you know, your wife to.
Well, for us, that's Bon Iver because we had that as a first dance, which we were very, very lucky at the time. Dougie was with Ellie and Ellie sang that for us. with Tom play guitar. Yeah, it was amazing.
What song? Sorry.
It was Holocene, and then it went into her version of How Long Will I Love You, which is amazing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But Holocene, and we had the lyrics of Holocene on our cake. Because I just, I don't know, like, in some, because the lyrics were, some way, baby, a part of you, a part of me. And I like, find it so poetic. Like, oh, yeah, it's cool. Like, two souls, kind of, you know, it's kind of, yeah, it's nice.
All your friends must have been like, for fuck's sake, we're not going to have to top that. That was a winning dance song.
Well, I had to top Tom's best man speech, didn't I? So oh, yes. I was like, oh, well, I'll top it with a performance instead. Yeah. 43.
So the 43rd biggest selling single is Avicii, Wake Me Up.
Oh, wow.
Big song.
Big song.
Big, big song. Number one in 2013.
Who sings that? Aloe Black? Or is it John Legend?
That's Aloe Black.
Aloe Black, Aloe Black.
Yeah, who's just done a track with for Avicii's posthumous album.
Yeah.
Which is, again, amazing song.
Yeah. See, his story's really sad, man. Like,
it is, yeah.
I think people...
It was really shocking.
Yeah, there's a real kind of like... And this is why I feel like, you know, not just anybody's story is important, but the more, you know, the more we talk about mental health in music is... Mental health anywhere, but where my expertise is in music, you know, it is everywhere. And I feel like it needs to be talked about because just my level of anxiety, and I just try to do it with no medication because I've seen people, you know, I've seen family, I've seen friends... try and overcome it with medication. It just kind of numbs it for a bit, and it just wasn't right for me. And I just tried everything I could possible to get out of it. I don't know. I just feel like it, when I spoke about it, it helped a lot. I remember speaking to Doug. I was like, Doug, mate, I had this weird like moment on TV the day where I couldn't control my thoughts, and like I went dizzy. And he's like, me too. And I was like, oh my god. I'm just sharing it with him. I was like, I wasn't the only one that felt like I was dying. You know. But it gets deeper than that, and I think with his thing, like, it's just so sad to see someone so successful and, you know, so healthy looking. And,
yeah.
And you know, just do what he did, so.
Well, I think it's good how open you are talking about it, because, like, they, as the kind of narrative's been at the moment, is not enough men discuss it openly enough, just normalising the talk around it, because it's so common.
I think it's a sign of strength. To share your weaknesses.
Exactly, to be vulnerable is a sign
completely,
of strength.
You know. Completely. I think it's a massive sign of strength for anybody to be brave enough to share their weaknesses, to share their, vulnerability.
On the flip side of Avicii, Wake Me Up, just because, you know, to turn the song to positive, it is a banger.
It's absolutely banger, yeah.
Real uplifting song. When was your last all-nighter? When did you last stay out all night, and what did you do?
Well, it was definitely before Cube was born, because I think I've only had one hangover in the 16, 17 months he's been born.
Wow, that's a good going.
Yeah. I mean, I drink, but it's like 3 or 4 pints. It's not like 8 pints onto the gin and tonics and then out.
Did that one hangover really teach you a lesson about not having a hangover with a young child?
It's more that I know I have to be on it, because my wife gets really bad hangovers. She actually went to the doctor and said that. She went to the doctor and went, I think I get bad hangover, and the doctor laughed at her.
Yeah.
But no, there's something going on. She's allergic to something, I think.
Oh, no. So, last all-nighter was a while ago?
It was a while ago, yeah. It was probably...
Was it a stag do?
Probably my stag do, like an all-nighter. Because I used my stag as a kind of lad holiday. I didn't want it to be like a stag. Because I'd never had a holiday where I've been away with my friends. Because I moved down to London when I was 17, got in the band, and never really did that kind of travelling thing. So I just want to... 5-day holiday with the boys, and we just went to the villa. It was amazing. Ended up being 6 days because I extended it. I was at a pool party and I extended the flight. But yeah, no, it was amazing. Really cool. Nice.
I also wanted to ask about The Voice.
Yes.
It's doing so well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a dream. It's such a... It sounds ridiculous, but it's an easy job for me, and it's a dream job. And why it's easy is because I was scared of it at first. I was like, when I asked to do it, it came about because I was like, oh, I want to do that. I want to try and, you know, be on The Voice, the adult version, right? I want to say that at the time, I think it was Ricky was leaving. I was like, oh, maybe, you know, they're looking for some other northerner.
Northern quota.
Yeah, who's in music. I was like, oh, I want to do it. And they were like, oh, we filled that space. It was Gavin at the time that filled it. But we've got a kids show coming out. Well, you know, interested in that. I was like, yeah, that sounds even like more fun. because I taught like a kid, and I didn't realise how impactful my story is, because at the time I was like, are they going to be bothered? But they are really bothered, and my, just the experiences that I have, and because I didn't realise that my whole history is someone else's learning.
Yeah.
Someone else's, because I can kind of just, instead of trying to teach, I just tell them my story. So this is what I did. I've messed up in front of the Queen. I've done this, I've done that. I failed here, I've done that. This is how I approach a gig, and they learn from that. So that's what's cool about it, is every individual coach teaches differently. So Jessie has her ways of, like, she makes like, she was teaching me this thing the other day where she does like lamb noise, like sheep noises to like, she's like, like these things to do her steps. I'm like, what is that? Like, it's crazy. And then Will's like super cool. Like, do let them do what they want. gets them in the mentality.
Yeah.
And then Pixie's more of like performance.
Yeah.
And I have my own way of like just getting the best out of them, making them believe in themselves. I try and mold them into something that they can take away from the show and be something at the end. You know, and I work with them, you know, like Courtney, for example, she went to America and she was my first ever finalist on the show, Courtney and Erin, and I worked with them both. Courtney, you know, she asked me for some advice. She wanted to release a single. I was like, no. So don't do it. So you're not ready. Just enjoy off the back of the show. Go and do some gigs where you do some covers. Just keep singing, keep playing gigs. Don't release anything yet, because as soon as you release something, people are going to judge you on that. Just keep doing that thing.
Yeah.
And she went to America. America's Got Talent. Became this like huge like Janis Joplin vibe.
Yeah.
People got it over there. And now she's signed to Simon Cowell. And I'm not saying that if she'd have released that song, it would have been different, but I'm there for them. And that's what's cool. And Erin, she's singing on one of the songs that I've written. So it's nice to be able to work with them. And, you know.
What you're saying is you can tell them your story. Like, you were fairly quite young when McFly started, right?
Yeah. Like, these guys are only like a year two younger than like what Dougie and I was, you know.
There's a lot to tell there, really, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, loads, maybe. They
seem really mature, though. They seem like every year, like, especially this year, they've seen the first 2 years, and then knowing how much hard work we expect, but also their mentality and their appreciation of music and willing to learn new stuff and not being so... That's what's the beauty of it, is there's no bad habits of, like, I've sang in clubs for years, this is the only thing I know, or, like, I've quit my job and I need to make it. There's none of that. It's just, like... I love music, these are the people that I like, but I'm open to more and I'm open to learn, and they've got this complete like newfound organic love for it, which is ace, you know.
Nice. That must be such a nice thing to do.
It's cool. And yeah. they're like sponges, they listen and take it in. There's no like attitude, it's cool. The thing is, we don't say no, we just don't turn, and that's the difference. And once we explain that, we're like, look, there's a time and a place. Like, I wasn't right for the audition I went to. They didn't want me. But the camera guy was Tom Fletcher. Like, there's always a reason for something. We wanted to be... Oh my God, it's Niall. Nyla!
Danny Jones!
What's happening?
How
are
you, Danny?
What are you doing? I'm just doing a podcast, mate.
No. Actually, for the purpose of the podcast, yes, I am.
Brilliant.
That is class.
I was calling and saying you wanted to play football today.
I'll give you a call back when I've done the podcast. Like, see you in a bit.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Good friend.
Yeah, I love that. That's a shame it's audio because he was just in his boxes. Yeah, I love Niall. He's such a great lad. So he's so like down to earth. You know what I mean?
So
like,
nice.
Yeah, he's great. See if I want to play football tonight. I won't be able to because I've done my groin.
Oh, damn. I was about to say on that note, we should let you go play football.
Yeah. Well, that was fun.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. No problem.
Thank you so much for that, Danny. It was great to hear him talk so fondly about the McFly years, which I'm sensing he's not quite done with yet. As well as being so candid and open about his family and dealing with anxiety. If you enjoyed this episode, then I'd recommend listening to some of our previous Take the Hit episodes with Tom Walker and Radio 1's Scott Mills. We'd really appreciate it if you could rate and review us as well, as it really helps people to discover the show. Next week, I talk to hit producer Jonas Blue.
Like I said, when I made Fast Car, it felt different. It, you know, that 3 minutes 12 changed my life. And yeah, it was part lucky as well. And then you have luck, and then after luck, you've got to have consistency.
Hear that episode as soon as it's released by subscribing to Official Charts Take the Hit. And in the meantime, you can check out the official singles and albums charts as heard on BBC Radio 1, plus loads more on officialcharts.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.